Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I just call to order the regular meeting of our council meeting council for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. She stands for pleasure.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So that will be roll call?
Sure. Mr. Bascom? Vice Mayor?
Bascom is on the phone with us.
Oh, he's on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Vice Mayor Brooke? Ms. Case?
Here.
Commissioner Castro?
Here.
Mr. Cooper?
Here.
Vice Mayor DeBois? Mr. Fink?
Here.
School Board Member Good?
Here.
Ms. Graham?
Here.
Mayor Gunsberger?
Present.
Mr. Hobby?
Here.
Commissioner London?
Present.
Commissioner Long?
Here.
Commissioner Mack? Commissioner Malozzi? Ms. Ragunan? Mr. Reinstein?
Present.
Mayor Udine?
Here.
And Mayor Fisher?
Here. Before we move on our agenda, we are honored as a planning council to be able to honor someone today through proclamation. I would ask Linda Noel if she would maybe at the podium like a special presentation.
We hope this is a surprise.
So on behalf of the planning council, it's my honor and privilege to provide you with a proclamation. Says whereas Linda Noel has excellently and faithfully served the citizens of Broward County as a member of the Broward County Planning Council staff since April 26, 1999. Whereas Linda Noel has exhibited the highest standards of commitment and professionalism and serves as a positive role model for any public servant. Whereas Linda brings a pleasant and friendly personal touch to carrying out her responsibilities. Whereas Linda is widely known and appreciated for her excellent culinary skills, which she has graciously shared with council members and staff over the years. Whereas Linda and her husband Renee has decided to relocate to the Central Florida area for a well-earned retirement. Whereas the Broward County Planning Council wishes to formally acknowledge the exemplary service of Linda and to the council and the citizens of Broward County, and wish her the very best. Therefore, it is hereby proclaimed June 23rd, 2011, that the meeting here at the Broward County Planning Council shall be honored in appreciation of Linda Noel.
Motion to make him this person that passes in 27 years and excuse us.
I All righty, we're now on our consent agenda, item C1 through C4 is consent in nature. Who wants to make a motion?
So moved. I want to add the request for absences. Commissioner Roper, I sent a note from Pearl Springs. She had a medical issue, kind of emergency. Commissioner Malozzi, on vacation, and I think it was called this morning, and not able to make the basement meeting.
This is huge absence, it will be part of the motion. So move to second, any discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Motion out of here. Now, this is on a public hearing agenda. Andy, is there anyone on public hearing issue? I'm sorry, I apologize, I'm sorry. Regular R1, council report, apologize.
No report today.
Okay. R2, Barbara.
First, I'd just like to take a moment and thank Lynn and Law for the services of planning council. I've worked here for nearly 11 years, and I'm sure that Henry is very disappointed to miss her last planning council meeting. But it's been a pleasure meeting her, working with her, and she's done a great job always. So I just wanted to note that. Also, cancellation of the July 28th planning council meeting. We've checked with other county agencies that could impact the meeting. There's nothing pressing, so if the council cares to do so, they could take action to cancel the July meeting.
Move to cancel the July 28th meeting.
Second.
Move to second, any discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Motion out of here, thank you.
The last thing that I have is the staff are asking for the initiation of amendment to the administrative rules document, Article 4. And that's to address the changes in court statute as part of House Bill 7207, making sure that our rules are consistent with the changes and the names of agencies, and those kinds of things have taken place. So if you initiate that today, we'll bring it back to you in August, and then at the same time, we will likely ask you to amend your amendment application that I'm on schedule to be consistent with the state no longer limiting twice a year.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, any further discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Fleming?
Thank you. I think this new law estimates the planning council much more relevant. The people are here, this body and membership of this body, seven months out from here, and we're very impressed with more than two people. I'm glad to see that we have a lot more relevance than I'm hearing that as to future land use and development.
Yeah, want to oppose the motion? Motion does care, okay?
Thank you.
Just for record, Commissioner Maxey is president of us today.
Thank you.
Any further correspondence on R3?
No.
Not yet, you want to publish? Which I want to skip you right away, didn't I?
PH1 is a quasi-judicial hearing. I advise that the applicant has waived the quasi-judicial hearing. If there's no objection, no one from the public will wish to speak on it. And the council agrees with the staff recommendation. The council could make a motion to approve the staff recommendation.
As well as PH2 was both correct at the same time?
If you choose to, yes.
So I thought, anybody wish for item number two?
Right.
Okay, which item?
Vote.
Vote, okay. All right, moving now to PH1. Barbara?
PH1 is the recertification of a Broward County land use plan amendment that was due last year. And the change was from commercial recreation to residential by 25. The city's applying for the recertification of this plan, and the applicant's provided the affordable housing commitment that goes along with that. And staff recommends approval of this as it is consistent with the county's amendment that was approved last year.
The motion from the floor?
Second.
Second, consideration, Mr. King, you have a question?
Couple of questions. Residential high density, 45 units per acre, what is that in county code?
The county land use plan doesn't limit the building height, so that would actually be a local zoning issue. I'm not sure. I know that the county staff, the applicant is actually here, so council kind of, we have the applicant, so she will provide you more information on the plan height.
Morning, ma'am, just if you name and
hasn't chosen yet, but as this boy was saying, that the height of the building and the overall density of the property will determine any value based on the zoning codes.
I guess my question is, if I look at the map, surrounding it is medium high now. What is that, does it mean, that's commercial, that's commercial, recreational commercial? And so that's going to take that last piece of recreational, because the rest of that is lake, is it not? Isn't that around Crystal Lake? Isn't that around Crystal Lake?
It was, it used to be a golf course, so the golf course is being replaced by this particular land use change is residential. There will be another one in future for.
You're telling me the golf course was 5.6 grade, so?
It's just a portion of the previous golf course.
And what's there now?
Sorry.
What is there now if the golf course is in the middle?
It's just grass land, former golf course land.
The site that's being certified is the 5.6 acres that we now have shared here on the map.
Right.
And that was the site of the clubhouse, that's sort of golf course. I believe that that's been relocated.
Yes.
They relocated the clubhouse that was on that site.
So is it still a golf course?
So there is still, it's not an active golf course, I don't think, but it's still green space in the green area on the map.
Okay, and was there a reason why you didn't want to change the density and not make it consistent with the other homes within the contiguous?
It is the same as that median height 25, it's right next to it and above it.
Okay.
The area of the ground is also median height 25.
Okay, you're right, I apologize.
Any further questions, Mr. Payne?
No, this one, no.
Mr. Lyons, get a copy.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for your comments. I spoke to Mr. Mayor yesterday, and he told me that he said he built those 36 schools. So that was the name of the project that was. He also said the state and other properties.
Yes, I can.
I also spoke to Mr. Mayor. And this is philosophical, and I just wanted to comment, because I asked him about the affordable housing component is 15%, and I was curious as to whether it's going to be standalone or going to be integrated into the building. And he told me it's going to be integrated because from my philosophical standpoint, I just don't want to see affordable housing pushed off over there. I love to see market rate and everything put together with affordable housing, so that way the units are all, they look the same, and no one can distinguish between, because I come from up north, and we used to have those types of projects ended up being projects, and that's why I called to ask this question, that's the way it would be. So if you gave me those answers, to reassure me, but in the future, you know, that doesn't be the question, I always ask the members, people when they talk about affordable housing, where are you putting your affordable housing units, and how are you going to integrate that into the overall development? I just wanted to express that in my conversation, but just really reassure me and tell me it would all be in the same buildings.
Any further discussion, Mr. Payne?
Yeah, because I appreciate that there's other people in the world. Based upon what is happening and what has happened in the past 3 years, I saw a lot of cities that have been municipalities have been dropping their affordable housing requirements. So when we're talking medium to high residential dwelling units, it's going to be the definition here of affordable housing much below what the market is now. As you saw in yesterday's paper, property values have declined 17%, regardless of what's coming out of the property operation problem. Property values have decreased another 17% in 2010 to 2011. So where's affordable housing going to stop? And what is that definition going to be?
Affordable housing defined in the code and the in the Broward County and the development codes, and unless that's changed at some point, then we provide affordable housing based on the current definition.
And there are voluntary restrictions, I'm sorry to interrupt, just so that the affordable housing is going to be for not exceeding 120% of a median
opportunity to gain more adjusted gross income. So that's actually in the declaration that they've recorded.
Okay, further discussion? Can you move to second? Call the roll. Actually, this would say all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
I'm assuming Mr. Baskin, you're in favor?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Page two.
Page two is an application for a unified flexibility zone boundary proposal in the city of Pompano Beach. And basically, they're combining a 14 existing flexibility zones in the city, and they're asking to combine that to one citywide. And map two in your book shows what the city has depicted as areas that would be permitted to receive flexibility, that would be residential or non-residential, and areas that would be protected from receiving, or would not receive zones, are not permitted to allocate flexibility units for industrial to commercial flex in those areas. So the city's made this proposal. They're protecting many small family neighborhoods through this application from the future allocation of flex, as well as, I think most importantly, the barrier island. So east of the intercoastal, they will not allow any allocation of flexibility to do that. The city of Pompano Beach planning staff is here if you have any specific questions about the proposal. So their staff are staff to answer any questions.
So the motion's on the floor.
So moved.
Second. Move second. Just maybe we start with you and Mayor Dunbar.
I have a question. When I looked at this map, there are some non-receiving areas, which I don't mind, but they seem to be islands among that are very strange. You've got areas where you've got development, and then you have a yellow square in the middle, and I don't quite understand some of those. Could you explain those?
Joel, just name for the record.
When we started out creating our flexibility receiving areas, we were under the impression that the receiving areas was only going to be related to the units and not the non-residential flex that was still being used throughout the city. Now, we were corrected in that we had to draw our receiving areas to address both residential and non-residential flexibility. So we had to broaden the scope of our receiving areas significantly, more taking into consideration our non-residential areas. So when we do that, it kind of left these islands that are primarily single family, places we would never leave flex because we did want to show that we're trying to concentrate units along our transit corridors without interfering with single family neighborhoods, but at the same time get all of our big industrial and commercial areas included in the residential flexibility provisions. So it's kind of a result of that
And I'm trying to find the other thing that I noted. I think you have like about 600 flex units, and this would get you up to 5,000. Am I correct?
No. They're not increasing. I'm sorry.
Go
ahead. They're going to maintain the same number of flexibility and reserve units that they have. What's up in the staff report is when the rules were adopted. If the city ever had over 5,000 units, they would not be able to do even five flexibility zone for more than 5,000 units. So the city for Otterdale has a huge amount of units, neighboring like 15,000. So if they ever came in for a unified flexibility zone for citywide and protection, you know, receiving and non-receiving areas, they can only come in for 5,000 units at a time. We wouldn't just say, okay, here's the 15,000 units, use them in whatever receiving areas
they have. So they stay at the number that they have left.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, because I was very concerned that all of a sudden you opened up a whole big bank. Thank you.
I apologize, but I'm a newbie, and I'm wondering, what is a flexibility zone, and what is a flexibility zone?
The flexibility zones are when, in 1977, the county was divided into 125 flexibility zones. So flexibility units on that level...
I'm sorry, what is a flexibility zone?
It's a portion of the boundary that defines a specific area within the municipality or the county, specific geographical area.
Exactly.
So let's say it's...
That allows what?
Well, within that flexibility zone, you have the Broward County Lands Plan, so that's the plan that every municipal plan must be compliant with. So then the municipality, which in this case, Compton Beach, has adopted this plan. And it's, in some cases, adopted more restrictive uses than the county plan allows. So if the county plan allows 10 units per acre in a specific place, the city may adopt 5 units per acre in that same area. So that, in effect, creates the difference between the county and the municipal plan, creating the flexibility units. So that's how the flexibility units are created.
I'm having a tough time wrapping my hands around this process. I understood the numbers. The county said you allow 10 units, the city adopts 5. What's the flexibility?
5 units. If it's 1 acre, it's 5 units. The city gets 5 units of flexibility within that zone to use.
To do what?
They can either allocate it to commercial properties for mixed use or for residential.
At their discretion.
At their discretion. There's a process laid out in the county plan and the administrative rules, the rules that they must follow to comply to be able to do that allocation. So there are rules that they have to follow, but it is at their discretion, because they are local units that they are able to use.
So once that flexibility zone has been approved, they no longer have to come back in front of the planning council?
In some cases, they do. In some cases, they may require a local land use plan amendment to allocate the flexibility. So if that was the case, they would come before the planning council to recertify that map amendment, if that was the case. Many of the rules allow rezoning or official action by the city to allocate the residential or non-residential flexibility.
Okay, now tell me about flexibility units.
Okay, so flexibility units are the difference between what the county plan allows and what the effective municipal plan allows. So as you'll see, I keep saying Compton Beach because they're the city before us, but they had 14 flexibility zones within the city. And some of these single-family neighborhoods were perhaps adopted at lower densities than the county plan, and that's what created the units. But then they got trapped kind of in that flexibility zone and couldn't be used on the commercial corridors or other parts of the city. So that's why they're proposing a unification in these receiving and not receiving areas. It's a very interesting concept, and only Broward County has this in the whole country. You're not going to find this in other areas. So the flexibility unit is the difference between these plans, and then they can be allocated to specific site plans or parcels to develop residential. And then there's also the non-residential flex, which is a portion of the industrial acreage being used for commercial use. Commercial acreage can be used for residential use. And these are all percentages that are laid out in the administrative rules document and the land use plan and procedures on how to use them.
So if we approve this, is this the entire city that you're making a flexibility zone?
No, there are seven.
Becomes a flexibility zone boundary, but within that boundary, there's these receiving areas and non-receiving areas. So the city is specifying places where they're not going to allocate any flexibility ever. They are protecting those single-family neighborhoods, east of the intercoastal, the beach.
And I think, too, this is something maybe you want to do with the staff, too, maybe we'll explore before they leave the entire map of Broward County, these flexibility zones, et cetera, too, as well. Please go out for it, and I've got money in.
I support this, and I think Compton is doing some great things with this. I wanted to bring something up, like, because it has to be a flexibility, and so the commissioner, if you come back around under other or at the end, the commissioner, but I can support this, and I think that Compton is going to do this for you.
I just want to make sure that the key opportunity here that Compton is trying to utilize is they have some units in zones where they don't want development, i.e. single-family homes. So what they're doing is, as opposed to saying, I have 13 other places to move them, I'm going to have one other place, and they're further defining that one other place, and they're then putting those units, restricting them, to areas they do want to develop more. i.e. high-zone commercial corridors, whatever. So in essence, it's, the whole point of the flexibility exercise here is to give you enough flexibility to move an approved unit from a place where you've kind of figured out after planning you don't want it, and be able to shift it to someplace else where it might be better utilized, because over time, things shift. Development shifts, growth shifts. So this gives you the opportunity to have a little bit of it. So that's in essence what your city is trying to do. And I think it's a very good idea, and I think it's very innovative, so congratulations to you. I think it provides for better planning and also maintain the quality of life for the residents in your city, which I think is imperative.
And we also even go further as far as affordable housing is concerned. Once those units are allocated, certain portions of those have to be workforce housing as well. So that's an issue that complicates as well.
Thank you, Chair Fisher. Just real quick, without having the prior map to compare this to, I see some of these areas that are yellow that are called non-receiving zones. Some of them are actually open areas, like around the municipal airport or like the cemetery on 26th Avenue south of Atlantic. So it's, I don't want to say it's deceptive, but it might be misleading to someone who doesn't know Pompano that would see these yellow non-receiving zones and not understand why. Obviously, you can't put flex areas on those parcels that straddle Northeast 25th Ave because there's three of them that are part of the cemetery. The only thing I wanted to say on the record, and I don't live in Pompano anymore, but I lived in Pompano for 10 years before I bought in Fort Lauderdale, and I see how you're turning some of your flex zones, receiving zones, areas that are east of Federal and south of that old cemetery, for instance, that are single family or a mix of less than four units on a lot. And that particular neighborhood is a neighborhood I know because I live there. And I just am curious as to how that will affect the single family you're trying to preserve further east on the opposite side of Northeast 25th Avenue and then south of Southeast 5th Street. Because that is, real estate wise, a very desirable neighborhood. I mean, the Lake Santa Barbara neighborhood. So I'm just curious how the lines were established, this block versus a block further east or west, if you don't mind me asking.
Well, we tried to come within a quarter mile of our transit corridors, and we also have to be a transit corridor, so we drew a line a quarter mile on either side. Keep in mind, we only have 1,400 units of flex left. We've already allocated some of those to our CRA district, so we'd like to reserve them. So we really have very few units left that we're even talking about. Now, we don't allocate them ourselves. The developer has to come and ask me for those. So in an established neighborhood like Lake Santa Barbara, you're not going to have somebody go in there and buy a bunch of those homes to redevelop into something that they would need flex for. So it may have fallen within our definition within a quarter mile of federal highway, but that doesn't mean it's likely to actually have lived there. And though we didn't go sort it out lot by lot, and like this is the general concept of what we're trying to achieve. And given the few units we really have left, it's not highly significant wherever they end up.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
That's carried. Thank you so much. That concludes our agenda, I believe, but Ms. Blunden wanted to make a comment on your comments.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to touch on the flexibility and to make sure to say about that first. When talking to staff, I questioned whether how many cities have gone back and acquired developers to then replat the land to form the flexibility into the city. I learned that the Allendale has been learning two meetings where it's been the poster child for doing that, and then Sunrise has done it once or twice. So I'd like to ask the council if they'd like to ask staff to look at maybe initiating review of land use so that way people can't go back and use it, because this is an opportunity to use these units. But if we have a land use map and we have a county's land use map and we have a city's land use map, there is a defined amount of units. And as Pompano just said, they have approximately 1,400 units, but if they require developers to go get those units returned, then that 1,400 can be recirculated 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And handle from that, and that will hurt, and summarize it at once. So I'd like to know if anybody else in the council thinks this should be an issue, that should be looked at by staff, and if you have any thoughts on it.
Okay, I think it's a good idea.
I think this is an issue that they need to be looked at, because it sounds like it could mushroom and really raise a problem for the town. So I support your request here.
Grant?
I support Commissioner London's suggestion. Thank you, Chief Fisher. I support Commissioner London's suggestion, only because, in my opinion, and this is just as someone who's lived in the county for a long time, the true stability of neighborhoods, single-family residential neighborhoods, actually helps to preserve some of the perimeter as well. And when you get into the flex units and some of the development that we've had when the boom times were here, I believe those areas are not always to the benefit. I think they may be to the detriment. But at the time, a developer comes in, he's got a proposal, it all looks good on paper. We're in a slump now, it eventually will turn around, it always does. And we may not be on the Broward Planning Council at the time. Who knows who will be in the elected offices. But if something can be established as a policy with the input of Barbara and Henry's staff, I think it would be very wise.
Barbara, do you understand the request?
It sounds like I just want us to take a look at really how this is happening and bring that information back to the council, kind of what the implications are. And then if the council at that time wanted to initiate a change to the rules for the Broward County Land Use Plan, at that time we would take it to a workshop and distribute it to the city for their input as well.
I think we'll do that as a discussion item.
Okay.
When we have the input of the facts.
Okay, so you bring it back either August or September as a discussion item, just depending on how the agenda goes.
Commissioner Mack?
We should bring it back.
Microphone, Commissioner Mack.
We should bring it back. Is there any way for us to have a long-term impact effect of what would, how it would affect the long-term?
Sure, we'll look at how it would impact the long-term allocation.
I think the record's been made, but proceed forward.
We will be set for acting out.
I just want to say thank you for everybody there, giving staff that opportunity to work out and report to this judge. Thank you.
Any other member comments at this time? Again, remember, our next meeting will be August 25th. That's what we've got on the calendar, so we're going to adjourn this meeting and go into our workshop.
We need a few minutes to set up the recording for